This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA. Well, one person who is going to hope that that doesn't happen is trainer Eddie Plisa Jr., who gets a rematch with Moreno after finishing second in the Whitney with It's My Lucky Day. And Eddie's nice enough to be with me here this morning on the Equine Forum. Eddie, appreciate you taking a little bit of time on a busy morning.
Mike, my pleasure. Glad to be with you.
You know, I tried to get Eric to kind of send a message out to you because he loves to talk smack with his fellow trainers. But he said, you know, I don't know Eddie as well as I know some of the other trainers, so he wouldn't do it. So,
well, that's fine. You know, it's we're busy fighting his voodoo ourselves. You know, used the voodoo in the last race, and I wasn't aware of it. So I'm assuming he's using voodoo in this race, and I've taken certain precautions to fight off the voodoo.
What do you do to fight off the voodoo?
Well, we had the parish priest come by and bless our horse, and he's wearing a Saint Francis medal as we speak. So any voodoo that might be coming our way from Eric, we're well prepared for it.
Yeah, he felt like he didn't need the voodoo dolls this time. He did do the same cookout at the barn that he did before the Whitney, but he switched it up this time. Last time it was jambalaya. He switched it up and went with something different this time around.
Well, listen, I hope he didn't make the wrong concoction for himself.
Yeah, nothing good comes of deviation. You know my theory on that.
Right.
Let's talk about It's My Lucky Day. Second behind Moreno last time out. That ended a three-race winning streak that he brought into the Whitney. Look back on that race for a minute and share your thoughts.
Ran a great race. Ran the kind of race I thought he would. Hindsight's always 20-20. Somebody could make a case that maybe he should have been putting a little bit more pressure on Moreno. Somebody else might say, coming down the lane, maybe he should have stayed on the inside. I don't necessarily agree with those thoughts. You know, jockeys have to make second decisions on what they're doing. They don't have time to think about things. Paco Lopez, outstanding rider, knows this horse. I have no problems with the way he rode the horse or rides the horse. I would think that the pace made the race last time. I think that I don't think that will happen this afternoon. Not to say I'm going to be chasing the pace and putting all the pressure on him, but I just don't think that's going to happen two times in a row. So with that being said, I like our chances. I wouldn't trade our chances for anybody else in the race. And we're anxious. I wish it wasn't 6:45. I wish the race was running at 9:45 this morning, but that's not going to happen. So, you know, we're just anxiously awaiting post time.
You know, when you have you're coming up to a big race like this, I can imagine that having to wait around all day long, it's kind of like teams waiting around to play the Super Bowl. All the hype, all the pre-race things or pre-game things are done, and you just have to wait until kickoff at 6:15, 6:20 Eastern or whatever that might be. You're kind of in the same boat, right?
Yeah, I can kind of feel for those football players a little bit.
You make some changes with It's My Lucky Day, which I found interesting because the horse has been running tremendously well this year, but you add blinkers. The decision to do that, why?
Well, you know, sometimes there's room for fine-tuning. I think in his particular case, after his last race, I played back races previous to that. If you had an opportunity to watch the races previous to that, you'll see him running down the lane, kind of cocking his head out to the grandstand side and kind of almost pulling up, just losing focus, not paying attention. Could have been just the level of competition wasn't really pressing him. But we trained him with the blinkers on to see how he would respond. He's worked twice with the blinkers, and a lot of times people put blinkers on horses to put speed into a horse. That's not our case. We just did it to have him have focus on exactly what's happening in front of him and not to be worrying about what's on one side or the other. And he responded greatly with the blinkers. He wasn't over-aggressive. He did exactly what the riders asked him to do, whether it be in the morning galloping horses, galloping, or in his works. You know, there was no black letter works, which isn't what I was looking for. They don't pay you in the morning. They pay you in the afternoon. So with him, he responded favorably, relaxed with him, and I just think maybe it might just help.
Well, he's going to wear saddle tile number two, but he will break from post position number one. You mentioned the pace making the race in the Whitney. Does breaking from the rail change or alter your strategy at all?
No, he's going to come out of there however he's going to come out of there, but you know, you don't have the luxury. He's not a take-back kind of a horse to begin with. So with the number one, you have to put yourself in position going around the turn where you're not going to get shuffled back. So I think in his last race where he was breaking, I believe, number four, and he had an opportunity to kind of survey things that were happening on the inside and the outside and just kind of react that way. I think from the number one post position, your first job is to get out of the gate well and make sure you don't get shuffled back. So, you know, again, that all goes to the rider.
Talking with trainer Eddie Plesa Jr. here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It's my lucky day going postward in the Woodward later on this afternoon at the Spa on closing weekend. Eddie, I mentioned to Eric Guillot with that interview in the first half of the program that this older horse division coming into the year looked like it was going to be absolutely loaded because you had the Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Mucho Macho Man, coming back. You still had Game On Dude, who we were thinking was going to be the same Game On Dude again this year. We found out that's probably not the case. We'll Take Charge was coming back. And then you saw some new shooters like Lee burst onto the scene early in the season. And we said, wow, this is going to be a tough division. All of a sudden, things are kind of maybe steering away from that sentiment. Kind of curious to get your thoughts. And look, you've had maybe the most consistent horse in the division all year long. Do you feel pretty good about that?
I do. And, you know, listen, it's tough with these horses. They have tough schedules. You get to a point and you have to run against the best or you don't run. You know, so, you know, all the horses you mentioned, they've had long careers. They haven't missed many dances. You know, it takes its toll on horses. The first half of the year was a pretty exciting, you know, half the year as far as the horses that you're talking about. And you know, and there was a lot of hope and a lot of things happening. And as the year wears on, just like in any other sport, you know, it takes its toll. And it took its toll on a few of the horses. So with that being said, I think that, you know, we look to the Breeders' Cup race coming up. I think you're going to look at a star-studded field. I mean, you've got horses coming from all over. You got the three-year-olds, California Chrome, Holland Offer's horse, who beat Game On Dude, you know, possibly my horse, Palace Malice, all these other horses, Merino. I mean, it's going to be an exciting weekend of racing then. And I don't think anybody's going to look back and say, geez, you know what, it's not much of a division, they're just horses. I think there's a lot of excitement left in this year, and this will be one of those days that's going to bring some excitement to it. And we're just glad to be part of it, and I think horse racing's benefiting from it.
Very much so. If you could write the script, Eddie, for today's Woodward, and you could draw it up your ideal way, what's the key to turning the tables on Moreno and everybody else this afternoon?
Well, listen, the key is winning the race, you know, cutting to the chase. There's a saying, one way to win and 1,000 ways to lose. There is only one way to win, and that's to be across the finish line first. There's a lot can happen in a mile and an eighth, coming out of the gate, position, you know, pace. I mean, there's just so many things. What do I want to see? I want to see my horse, you know, running down the lane in first place, heading to the winner's circle, and what happens to get him there. You know, he's not the kind of horse that's going to be sitting back 15 lengths behind the pace, hoping for a fast pace. He's not going to be the horse that's on the lead, hoping nobody presses him. He's going to be somewhere in between. So because of all that, I think our horse is going to give a great accounting of himself. And, you know, we're glad to be here, and we're glad to be running against Marino again and let the best horse race. I hope everybody has exactly what they want. I hope nobody has any bad luck. I hope when the race is over, everybody in the race says, you know what, I just got beat. I had no excuses. That's what I'm hoping for, and I'm hoping that I'm not one of those that says that. I'm hoping I say, yep, we did our job, and we got it done.
You never want to look too far ahead, Eddie, but you did mention the Breeders' Cup as being kind of a goal with It's My Lucky Day, and you know, if you do want to look that far out. But you've been there a couple of times, and you've been so close in the Breeders' Cup races. You were second in the Dirt Mile in 2007 with Gotcha Gold, third in the Juvenile Fillies in 98 with Three Ring. Does being so close make you want to get back there even more?
In all honesty, not really. I mean, listen, it's an experience. There's no question about it. There's a lot of horsemen like myself that toil every single day. And the difference between the most successful and ones that don't hit that acclaim can be something as easy as the tools to work with. So, you know, when you don't, you're not given the very best horses. And that's not a knock against the people that get those horses. I would like to be one of them. But there's plenty of people back here that certainly have the wherewithal to take a horse to its highest plateaus. So, you know, we've been there. We've enjoyed it. I want what's best for my horse, first of all. And if it's participating in the Breeders' Cup, that's great. You know, you look at the Kentucky Derby now. I don't think the Kentucky Derby brings the experience that it once did. I mean, at one time it was like you'd do anything to get in the Kentucky Derby. And I just think the way that the Derby is handled by Churchill Downs puts a down on it as far as the people that are participating. I don't think you're going to find a lot of people going to be giving high accolades as far as the experience of running in the Derby. Because it isn't any. And then you go to the Preakness, and it's totally opposite. I mean, it's like, what can we do for you? So, you know, just to be able to run in the races that we're talking about, it's exciting, but it's not something that I have to do. I mean, would I like to be in a Breeders' Cup? Absolutely. Do I want to win the Breeders' Cup? Absolutely. But it's not something that I have to have.
He's trainer Eddie Plesa Jr. He has saddled nearly 2,200 winners in a stellar career. He's hoping to edge one win closer to 2,200 later on this afternoon with It's My Lucky Day in the Woodward. Eddie, can't thank you enough for being with me. As always, you're always very accommodating with your time, and really do appreciate it, and all the best later on this afternoon.
Thank you very much.